Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Good evening, everyone. Great to see you all this evening on this Saturday night. It's kind of windy out there. Hope nobody blew away. Before we get into tonight's message, I just want to say that if you haven't got your tickets for The Chosen, like Naomi said, it's not every day the whole church goes to the movies. So come out, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I just want you to know that I will be at the popcorn stand very early. So it's going to be a great time. We've got two movie theaters booked out. And I'm expecting this episode of The Chosen to be really something special. I don't know if any of you have seen their pilot for the whole series, which was called The Shepherd. And it was really powerful. I know a lot of the characters that played in The Shepherd will be in this movie, because obviously that was a little bit of a story about the birth of Jesus. Now they've gone really in depth. And there's a real awesome clue at the beginning of the trailer where you can see Mary. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you. I know what it is. I saw it. If you didn't see it, you missed it, you know. So it's going to be great. It's going to be exciting. I'm looking so forward to being there with you guys. What's going to be awesome is we can shout and we can clap and we can praise in the movie. We can get up and dance while we... Have you ever done that in the theater before, have you? Well, this is going to be your chance. And if you've arrived here and you think to yourself, are they that kind of church? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We are the praising, jumping, shouting, clapping kind of church. And we're so proud of it. Because let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If we do not shout, even the rocks will cry out in our place. It's okay, I'll shout by myself. And about four of you will join me. We had our gala last night for the House of Transfiguration, and it was really a wonderful event. And I'm really excited about tomorrow, because we wanted to make sure that we share with the congregation everything that's happening at the Real Mission, at the House of Transfiguration. For those of you that don't know, the Real Mission basically is an extension of Oceans. It is a separate 501c3, but it was part of the vision that God gave us for this house. And so we're very proud of the work that's taking place there. And tomorrow, we have a very, very special service where we're going to show you what's taking place. Some of the ladies have graduated from the program, and we're going to be honoring them tomorrow night. And I want to show you what's taking place there and share with you what God has done. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be powerful. Don't miss it, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. Amen. So if you are wondering, I will not be continuing with my series about what happens to you when you die. We'll have to do that after Thanksgiving, but that'll be something to look forward to. But tomorrow will be extremely special. Also, just want to say that it is Thanksgiving next week. How many of you are excited about Thanksgiving? Are you going to eat turkey? We're going to have some turkey. They say turkey makes you sleepy. Is that true? Okay, well, let's eat some turkey. You know, when I was preparing for this weekend, I wanted to actually... This is the kind of message I would really more like to share on a Sunday morning, because I feel the whole congregation needs to hear this. It's very difficult for me because a lot of people don't come to Saturday nights. And really, Saturday nights are so important because we have more time. There's more of a Holy Spirit expression because of the time. There's no time restraints, and there's a lot more hands-on ministry. So Saturday nights are very special. But I couldn't not minister this word, because I feel it's something that the Lord is calling us as a church to do and to remember. You know, we have Thanksgiving, and we give thanks for so many different things. But the truth is, how many of you believe in this place that if there's one thing we need to be thankful for, it's for the Lord? And so that's what my message is all about tonight. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 29, verse number 12. I have a lot of scriptures, so I'm going to try and move fairly quickly to get into it all with you this morning. Both riches and honor come from you. And you reign over all. In your hands is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all the things come from you, and of your own we have given you. How many of you know that everything we have comes from him? Both riches and honor and strength and everything you and I have is because of God. And this Thanksgiving vacation, holiday, I want us to go into it remembering that it's everything that he has done for us that has brought us this far. I know that it's been a difficult season for many people, but I want you to know that you still have something to give thanks for. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is great and greatly to be praised. Psalm 100, verse number 4, it's a very popular piece of scripture, this. And it says this, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. What many scholars suggest is that in this one verse, there is actually the word thanksgiving used 4 times, but just in different ways. I want to show you that this evening. You'll see the Hebrew word used here for thanksgiving, but there's actually more than one Hebrew word for the word thanksgiving. So the first one where it says we enter his gates with thanksgiving is the word todah. And what it basically means is it means a song of thanksgiving. So when we enter the gates of God, when we come into his presence, when we want to come to him, we should enter with todah, which is a song of thanksgiving. Or you could even say as a choir. So when we come into the gates and the presence of God, what we want to do is we want to always start by coming with thanksgiving. And the expression that's used here is an outward expression of actually kind of like singing or like a choir of thanksgiving. It says, and into his courts with praise. And the Hebrew word here is the word tahila. And that actually means to sing a song of thanksgiving, or it could simply be praise. But it's also a song of thanksgiving. So you can see in every expression of the word thanksgiving, praise, thankfulness, or bless here, you see 2 things, praise and thanksgiving. And they're very, very similar words in expression in this particular scripture. So he says that we should praise him, or tahila, which is a beautiful word, to come and to sing a song of thanksgiving or praise to God. Let's take a look at one place where that word is used. Psalm 71, verse number 8. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Beautiful, beautiful word. Let's go back to Psalm 100. We'll pick it up in verse number 5. For the Lord is good. Let me give you one more word before I do that. The word be thankful there is not the same one as the first thanksgiving. This word is the word yada, and it means to give thanks also in an expressive way. So in other words, when God wants us to come to him with thanksgiving, I want you to see it's kind of like a doing word. It's a word that requires you to actually do something. Some scholars say that in the text here, it's speaking of coming with thanksgiving by lifting your hands, by going down on your knees. It's an expression of coming to God and actually doing something. That's why I said that it's not a bad thing to shout. It's not a bad thing to clap. It's not a bad thing to dance in church. Just don't do it in an evil way. I don't need to say anything more than that. We're not dancing for man. We're dancing for God. Amen. So when we do it, it's because we get excited and we want to just, you know, just get excited for the Lord and dance before him. David took it too far. He got naked. But that's a whole nother story for another day. Okay, we don't want to talk about that right now. But God has always wanted us to show our thanksgiving. And you know, it's amazing because he created us. And so when we give him thanks with our entire being, it's an expression of his creation, giving him thanks and worship and praise. You know, it says that we must come into his presence, that we should enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, be thankful and bless his name. That's how we come before him. But the fact of the matter is why do we need to do this? Why should we come before him? Why should we do this? How many of you want to know the answer to that? The Bible says, for he is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. So the primary reasons for giving thanks is because God is good. The second thing is his mercy is everlasting. The third thing is his truth endures, listen to this, to all generations. So if anyone ever says to you that his word is no longer relevant, then you must say, but the Bible says his truth, his word is for all generations. That means the generation before us, this generation, and the next generation. His truth endures forever. Can you say amen? Psalm 136, verse number 1 confirms this. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful. If I'm thankful for one thing, I tell you, I am thankful that God's mercy is everlasting, that it endures forever. Listen, weeping may come for a moment, but in the morning there, his mercy is on you. The Bible says, in the morning he makes all things new. I remember when I was a young Christian, I used to feel bad about the smallest things that I would do wrong and really suffer from condemnation. I would feel so guilty. And I remember one thing that was always amazing was in the morning when I would get up, it would feel like a new day. It would feel like God's mercies were new, that he was refreshing me, and there was a new start, a new beginning. I really believe that's how his mercy is. It's fresh every day. It's new every day, and it's everlasting. Amen. Amen. So when should we give thanks? When should we give thanks? It's easy to give thanks when things are going well. It's easy to give thanks when we don't have any problems or any troubles. And I mean, you know, we go through seasons in our walk with God. Sometimes it's going well, and sometimes it's not going so well. But the truth is that the Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse number 19, speaking to one another in psalms and with hymns and spiritual songs. I want you to see that. Spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always. Everybody say always. Let me ask you the question, when should you give thanks? You see, that's how it's supposed to be with us. We are supposed to give thanks always. When it's going well, when it's going okay, when it's going rough, when it's going bad, when it's going extremely well, when we're having a bad morning, when we're having a good morning. Doesn't matter where we are, what season we're in, we are supposed to give thanks always. For all things to God, for the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what season you're going through, always give thanks. Look at another scripture where he confirms this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. In what should you give thanks? Everything. Say it again. Everything. In everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I promise you there is a miracle waiting for those who always give thanks. You see, many people will do certain things and see God move, but the ones who have a grateful heart, the ones who have a thankful heart, will always see God move in an even more powerful way. Let me show you what I'm talking about. You see, this story is such a powerful story. Let's go to Luke 17, verse number 11. Luke 17, verse number 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, this is Jesus we're talking about, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet. Now watch this. And what did he do? Giving him thanks. I want you to see a picture of 10 individuals that get a miracle from God. 10 people who are desperate for a breakthrough, but only one comes back and give thanks. The other 9 don't return, but the one comes back. And when he comes back, he falls down on his face and he gives thanks. You see, unfortunately, many of us, once we've had the breakthrough, once we've had the miracle, we forget where it came from. We forget where we were. We forget we weren't saved. We forget we were full of addiction. We forget we were lost, but now we are found. We forget it, guys. But the truth is, it's the one that comes back and is thankful to the Lord and comes and always responds with a grateful heart that can always wake up in the morning and say, "Thank you, Father, for a new day, for another start, for another opportunity to serve you." You see, when we have an attitude like that, take a look at the story. It said, And he was a Samaritan. We're not going to get into all of that. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." It's this word "made well" there is the word sozo, which is a very powerful Greek word. The word sozo is the word saved. That's what it really means. That means your faith has saved you. In other words, what he's saying here is that this faith, this what you have done by coming and giving thanks and returning to me the way you have, not only will I touch you physically, but I will save your soul. I will touch you. I will deliver you. I will restore you. There was an extra miracle for the one who gave thanks. And there were 9 that didn't return. I would love to know the story of the 9. I wish there was a book written about the 9. I'm sure some of them were very grateful, but no, none of them returned. Only one returned. And let me tell you something. When Jesus says to you, "I will give you sozo. I will heal you. I will deliver you. I will save you. I will restore you." That's what it means. You better know it's going to happen. You better know. I can tell you, if we had the story of this one leper, it would be a good story. But it's those that don't have a grateful heart that oftentimes we lose our way. And let me tell you something. I honestly believe this, that many times people lose their passion because they're not grateful, because they're not thankful. Thankful for the person sitting next to you. Thankful for your children. Thankful for your spouse. Thankful for your job. Thankful for what you have. But more than anything, thankful to God, because he is great and greatly to be praised. Now watch. I believe with all of my heart that if we can be a people, and no matter what we're going through, can always be thankful, God will move powerfully in our lives. You see, Jesus was always thankful. How many of you here, when you pray for your food, you ask the Lord, "Lord, bless this food," and then you eat because we want to make sure we don't get poisoned. So someone you don't trust cooked, you just quickly, "Lord, just if I eat anything deadly, it will by no means harm me. Bless this food. Amen, hallelujah," and you eat. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with that. But let me show you who always gave thanks for a meal. Matthew 15:34 says, Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, 7 and a few fish. And so he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves, the fish, and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave the multitude. Watch this. Luke 24:30 out of the Amplified Version. This is so beautiful. And it occurred that as he reclined at the table with them, this is Jesus, he took a loaf of bread and praised God and gave thanks and asked a blessing. And then broke it and was given and broke it and was given to them. And it's amazing because not only did Jesus do this, but Paul followed this example in Acts 27, verse 35. It says, and when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. I don't know about you, but when last did you sit down and really say to God, thank you for this meal? Thank you that you always provide. I think we often take for granted that we even have the privilege of a meal. And Jesus never did that. When he sat down, he took the bread, he broke it and shared it with those that he loved. And he said, thank you, Father, for this meal before we eat. I want you to know that there's, in Psalm 147, verse 7, it says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise on the harp to our God. It's amazing how when it comes to thanksgiving, worship and music is often connected. You know, sometimes when we're dealing with things in our lives or going through a serious crisis, you know, it's really hard to be thankful. You know, many of us have been through stuff like that over the last couple of years. And I just want to let you know that there's a very strong possibility that at some point in your walk with God, you will go through some trials. And that's not me being in any way negative. The Bible says in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. Stuff will happen. And we're going to have to walk through those moments. But I want to show you from the Bible what happens when you're in trouble and you give thanks, how God can deliver you from the most terrible situation. How many of you know the story of Jonah? God tells Jonah that he needs to go to Nineveh and he needs to deliver a word to them. But Jonah didn't want to listen to God, so he wanted to go in the absolute opposite direction. And if you look at it, it really is physically in the absolute opposite direction. So not only did he not go in God's direction, but he went in the other direction. And he climbs on a ship, and as he gets on the ship sails out to sea. And when the ship gets out to sea, all of a sudden, it gets really, really rough. And Jonah's in the bottom of the ship, busy crying out, or sleeping, or whatever he was doing. And the people on the ship are getting really, really upset. And they feel like they've been cursed because all of a sudden this bad weather came from nowhere. And so what happens is they go to Jonah, and Jonah says to them, listen, it's because of me that this storm has taken place. And so what they do is they take Jonah and they throw him off into the ocean. It's a bad day for Jonah, wouldn't you say? How many of you in that moment would start to give thanks to the Lord? So Jonah's in the ocean, and we all know the story that a big fish, we don't know, you know, most people have a picture of a whale. Maybe it was a male, who knows? I'm not going to joke. Okay, maybe it was a male. No, I don't know. We don't know what it was. It was something really large that came and swallowed Jonah up. But what's really amazing about this story, can you imagine being in the belly of this gigantic fish? How many of you think that you would be pretty desperate? And so while Jonah's in the belly of the fish, he cries out to God. And this is his prayer. Jonah chapter number 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and he heard my voice. Sheol literally means hell. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves have passed over me. Then I said, I've been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I want you to kind of imagine this. Jonah's in the belly of the fish, the whale, whatever it is. And there's seaweed wrapping around him. It's got to be completely dark down there. It's not, you know, it's not like Geppetto who lights a match in the middle of the stomach of the belly. Listen, he's in darkness, guys. He is in hell. This guy is must stink down there. I mean, it's just, he probably thinks it's all over. But while he's in the midst of this, he says this, and this is so amazing. He says, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. And in verse number 6, it says, I went down to the moorings of the mountain, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Now watch. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. While he's in the belly of the whale, while he's busy being squashed in stomach acid, and who knows what on earth is going on in the hell of that stomach. And while he's doing that, he's crying out to God, and he's remembering the God who he serves, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God who was and is and will always be. He knows that the Word of God says that his mercy endures forever, that he should always give thanks. And in the midst of his trauma, in the midst of feeling like he's about to die, probably can't even breathe, he cries out and he says with a voice of thanksgiving, I will pray what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He knew the only way he could be saved was if he cried out to God, and he knew the only thing that would get him out of the pit was the thanksgiving. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to my Savior. Thanks be to my Lord. No matter what trial I'm going through, no matter what I'm dealing with, Lord, I can give thanks to you because you are great and greatly to be praised. There is none like you. I know what you did, Lord, when they crossed the Jordan. I know what you did, Lord, when they crossed the Red Sea. I saw what you did, Father, for them in the wilderness. You can take us out of the pit. You are the fourth man in the fire. No matter what I'm going through, I can give you thanks. Come on, somebody in this place, stand up to your feet and give the Lord some thanksgiving. Give the Lord some praise in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Salvation is of the Lord. You see, he knew it. He knew it, but he rebelled against God. He wanted to do his own thing. And when he finally got into that place of total desperation, he did the one thing that was a good thing. What did he do? He gave thanks. Every time that fish swallows water, I feel like I'm going to die. But when there's a moment of peace, Lord, I give you thanks that I'm still alive. Who knows what he said in that moment? But what could come out of his mouth was, thank you, Lord. And the Bible says, if you read on, take a look. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Listen to me, guys. You may feel like you have nothing to give thanks for in this season of thanksgiving. But I want to tell you that if you are willing to give him thanks tonight, he can organize for you to be vomited out of that situation. You can be removed from that situation. You can come out of the pit that you're in. You can come out of whatever situation. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, you don't know how bad it is for me. Listen, the belly of a fish. When you're in the belly of a fish, see how much faith you have. If God can cause a fish to vomit him out of the mouth, out of his mouth, and listen, it must have been near land. I mean, this is an absolute miracle. And this is no myth, people. This happened. This happened. The story took place. And the breakthrough moment was the moment of thanksgiving. You may say, Pastor Alex, I feel like I have nothing to give thanks for. I want to tell you, you are so wrong. Because tonight, you can give him thanks that you are still alive. You can give him thanks that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can give him thanks because his mercy endures forever. You can give him thanks because you still have an opportunity to finish your race strong.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.